This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Why doesn't it play that anymore? What's better than whipping a Grey Merchant?
Pack Rat.
But it already played Pack Rat.
No, it only played two Pack Rats. Now it plays four Pack Rats.
Yep. Oh, I've always played four Pack Rats. Damn it! Why am I always so ahead of the curve and then somebody like Owen makes a deck popular and now I sound like every deck brewer on board? Fucking goddamn it.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
He looks at me, are you a pro?
Not really, I just have a website.
Then he goes, is it a pro website?
Jay Boosh.
They're like, holy fuck, we're both over here, man. We both can't be over here, man.
Scotty.
Like, I stared him right in the face. I'm like, I'm only here for the buys. He's like, so you only want the buys. I'm like, once again, I am only here for the buys.
And Jeremy.
As the A-Team fourth member, I promise the listeners that I will get that man to talk more. That is my commitment to you.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 159 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, as always joined by Scumbag Schofield.
Hello, 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 hello.
Mr. Scotty Mack.
Sup, my bitches?
And Jay Boosh. How's it going, Jay?
Pretty good. I'm like a colossal whale. I'm just coming in for Sith 5. I got Island Walk. You know, but I eat you. You gotta watch out. Sticky fingers.
Watch yourself.
You're a strong fighting creature. Example 6-6.
Yes. Most pertinent. What a capital idea. Yes. What's up, everybody?
I'm pretty tired. It was awesome. It was as awesome. I was talking about how, like, I think last week how baller my groom was. Like, he would try to pay for everything or something, or wouldn't let us pay for certain things. So it was probably one of the best trips I've ever had. Just because maybe it's just the contrast, just going from like being freezing over here and just being able to escape down there made it feel so much better.
And isn't that the best?
Yeah.
Me and Meg go on trips in February for that reason.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to start doing that too. Like every December or January or February, just like find somewhere.
February is good because it's after Christmas, so the price comes down.
Ooh, yeah, see?
That's what I'm talking about. Plus, February is great when you can finally get the lady out because it's Valentine's Day. And when you go somewhere, they always do all the work for Valentine's Day. But you could say like, oh yeah, I looked this up online and I thought this was really romantic. And so I wanted to bring you here for that.
See, whoa. I haven't figured it out. I've got myself locked in for a trip to Montreal in March.
Perfect. That's the city of love. Dirty love. Yeah. But love nonetheless.
Wait, but you bring your wife?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Perfect. That's romantic.
Yeah, I don't get it.
He's taking some advice, right? He's the opposite of Carrie Dan. Carrie Dan takes everybody everywhere. And Scumbag Schofield, just you stay home and cook and clean.
Well, no, it's not that. I'm bringing her to Vancouver.
Yeah. That's not Montreal, man. Come on.
Yeah, but they got a really nice aquarium.
That's true. I suppose that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to go look at fishes.
I believe it's fisheye.
Fisheye? A herd of fish?
A herd of fishes.
A gaggle of fish?
I don't know.
A business of fish. A business.
Fish goes blub, right?
Yes, fish does go blub.
Okay, good.
For me, like for Magic and vacation days, I just try to take as least as possible, just because I go on so many trips. And for this Hawaii one, like, the reason I'm so tired right now is because I set it up so I come back this morning at 7 and I go to work.
Oh, see, we used to do that too. That is the worst idea.
Literally the worst. And I mean, it's your job isn't like physically demanding or anything, but fuck, no, man, I'd just be sleeping in my desk.
Yeah, and you just don't want to be there.
Yeah,
that's the worst.
Right? Like, you just got back from Hawaii, you walk in the door and you see fucking old Bob there. Hey, how is Hawaii, guy? Hey? You're just like, oh my god.
I used to do that game plan and then always call in to sick work the next day. So I finally got myself into the mindset. Yeah, not at all. Exactly. So it's just like, I finally got to the point where it's like, yeah, coming home on the flight that gets me in at midnight on like Sunday night so that I can go to work on Monday. Yeah. Let's just take Monday off.
Like, no point, no. Yeah, you got to take Monday off. And that's like a super big reason why I don't go to GPs and stuff. Or why I can't just constantly go to GPs is what I should say, actually. Because, like, a lot of the times I just can't get the vacation time. And so it's either, like, fly out Friday after work and then fly home Sunday and not be able, like, and then have to go to work the next day. And it's just, like, that just is, it's not, I feel like that would just sully the trip. And, like, how awesome am I going to be to a fan? Like, some fan walks up to me. And they're like, oh my god, you're J-Boosh. Can I play a game of Anti-League with you and sign? Can you sign a token and then tell me about nothing magic-related because you don't know anything about magic? And then I'm like, absolutely, but I'm so fucking tired because I had to work today. So, you know, I worked all day yesterday and then I had 2 hours of sleep. So let's pay money to play Limited. Also, here's my signature. Get the hell away from me.
Once you get your journeyman, like, if you get yourself into the hall, like, that is actually something that is a thing of the past.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I can't wait to go golfing every day.
Well, I don't think you get to go golfing every day. That's a whole other story. But honestly, with work, I just go in and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be here these days. And they're just like, so what are you telling me now? Tell me, like, Thursday when you're not going to be here on Friday. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Are you a journeyman?
No, they don't have. I'm unskilled labor. Like,
right.
I'm mad fat money bills for working from the neck down, for picking things up and putting them down.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's why I wanted to make sure. I was like, I'm pretty sure Jeremy's just a laborer, and I didn't know you could be a journey.
No, there is no such thing as... You can actually, oddly enough, you can become a certified Red Seal laborer.
What? That means you're able to work anywhere in Canada to pick things up and put them down.
Put things down, exactly.
Fucking great. Nice. Did you hear about Jeremy? Oh, yeah, he just passed his red seal for pick-up put-down. Oh!
Yeah, you literally have to get, like, so many hours and then take, like, a week-long course and pass a test, and, like, you have to, like, throw, like, $400 into it, and honestly, the $400, nobody wants to do it in, like, the trade, like, in the trade, because everyone's like, oh, I don't want to spend that money. But they don't understand that they get, like, a $3 raise for doing that. Jeez. So it's just, like, you pay for that money very, very quickly. So I think I'm going to be a very unique Red Seal laborer if I decide to do this long enough, because I really don't want to do it. I want to play Magic. Maybe open up a store or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, playing Magic.
Yeah. That's something that we should try out.
Isn't it? Yeah.
We should. I think it looks like a cool game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a starter deck or something.
What were the magic stores like in Hawaii?
Yeah.
I didn't run into anything. Everything
you
was
run into anything.
Anything at all. No.
Motherfuckers didn't see have a pro much. Tour like every year. How do they not have magic there?
What island were you on?
Kona.
Kona,
oh,
okay.
That's why.
The big island. The big island. It's just really nice. Spent most of the time at the resort, which was a good half hour drive from the airport. And I mean, visited volcanoes and stuff, but I didn't see anything that looked remotely like a card store. So, no, sorry, guys.
Actually, is Honolulu on Kona?
I don't think so.
Honolulu an island itself?
It's an island. No, it's not.
Honolulu's on Oahu.
It's on Oahu. Okay, on Oahu. Okay, yeah, there we go. Yeah, I think they have a big store.
Because he was on Kona, there's nothing there.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, Honolulu has a really good store, I'm told.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who went down there, so.
But Flores was landing in Honolulu the day after I was leaving, and he wanted me to stay, and I'm just like, but I'm not even staying on the same island.
But you should have asked him to pay you. That's what I would have done.
Our paths never cross. Me and Flores have yet. He's like the one celebrity guy that in Magic that I've yet to meet in person that I should by now. But
so I got a question for you. So because here's what I'm thinking. Wife and I are kind of like postponing some Christmas stuff. Just because like everyone, all the kids and stuff are way more important. You know how it goes, like being family guy. Goddamn kids. But what I'm thinking of is maybe for Christmas I'm gonna go to a GP in the States.
Ooh, sweet.
And the GP that I was looking at going to is one of two. And I'm thinking that this might make a whole heck of a lot of sense, KYT, for you and I, and for Flores, I might add. How do you feel about this wonderful city of Boston in July 25th?
Oh, man, and you guys can meet Jeebus.
Uh-huh. What do you think of that?
I mean, if I'm totally down for that. I don't know if Flores will be, but Boston is definitely
so
one
so close to New York. So close.
It's like walking distance.
Holy fuck, boys. You could come on down here and have a fucking great old time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Holy fucking, you could play some Magic Cards. Fucking wicked hard. Play them good, eh?
So, I was...
Oh, you could go to a fucking Boston game.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Fucking wicked hard.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's a long way away. We got lots of time to plan it. And I got nothing happening that weekend. I think it's gonna happen.
Okay, I'm down for that for sure. I've been to a few, maybe one, at least one GP Boston, at least one SCG Boston. So.
Yeah.
Really? So you've already been?
Yeah.
He's been to Boston. Yeah.
I've been to Boston.
Boston's so close.
All right, what's the other one? Next.
Anyway, so I'm pretty excited. So I think I'm actually going to try to swing that because Boston's not that far from here and it is in the summer. And it is a modern GP, so I'm pretty sure I'm...
What's the other one? You said it was one of two.
The other one that I was considering... Actually, shit. The other one that I probably should consider, except that it's like the week after, is the Cincinnati GP, but I can't go... Because it's Cincinnati, like everyone in Cincinnati represent, right? But I can't go to the Cincy because it's the week after Montreal, and I'll probably still be hungover.
Why don't you go to like a really sweet like one like that deep in the south?
Deep south? Yeah. I know that it would be amazing if I could go to Atlanta.
Oh my god, I would love to go to Hotlanta.
And I know because
Atlanta where the players play.
You'd have a place to stay.
Mantle lives there, and not only Mantle, but Thomas Dodd lives down there too.
Shit.
And he was at me earlier this year to like come down sometime to a GP and whatever, we can hang out and shit because it's been a while. Like Atlanta,
the clubs, they're all fucking banging down there.
Atlanta's May 23rd, 25th. Jay,
this is my birthday.
Is it?
This is my birthday.
Oh shit! Could you make it to Atlanta, Jay? Could you do Atlanta?
Well, I don't know. That's like a million miles away.
Yeah, so. But it's like due south, isn't it?
Probably not. I don't even know where that is.
Due south from Atlanta. Do you know where Atlanta is?
Have no,
you
I have no.
Like, I feel like it's in the southeast.
Yes, it is in the southeast.
Yeah, we live in the west, Jay.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Atlanta was southeast. I'm
here in the west.
Yeah, south of us is like Colorado, Salt Lake City, Vegas.
All right, let's just settle on Vegas here.
Yeah, exactly. Where's GP Vegas?
There's no GP. But anyway,
let's go to Vegas then. Fuck it.
So those are those
are GP. With
those
hookers,
are my options.
Blackjack, just like Vegas.
Yeah. Those, as far as I can tell, are my options. Now, in all fairness, the other one that's very interesting, and I don't know if this appeals to you, and I think the three of you should go, is August 8th and 10th There's Corset Team Sealed in Portland.
Oh, man, that sounds fucking...
Wow.
And, I mean, like, the three of you are very competent players, and I think that if JYT could peel himself away from his mana-deprived stable of stallions in the limited format, then it could be pretty sweet. I would 100% drag your asses down, so I will not be going to that. But you guys should go.
Yeah, my team's probably already locked, sadly.
from my team
last year, where we finished one off from top four, Josh Reichel and Semulin. So that's going to be tough too.
If you want, there's a second one on Halloween weekend in Nashville for Huey Team Seal.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. Why are you just laughing? It's not funny.
It is, because I'm not sure, like, if there's an actual shot.
You're
like
a piece of shit.
Yeah, I am. I am a piece of shit.
Me
I have the GP schedule in front of me. I'm telling you things that are not lost.
Just fucking, oh, yeah, you're the best. You're on the show, whatever. And then as soon as fucking some real commitment comes up,
yeah,
you're out the door. I got three other dudes. Unbelievable.
Some other asshole's getting married. I'm sorry.
Ugh.
Fuck that guy's wedding.
I don't
know. I'm very intrigued by Portland.
If I go to Portland, I'm for sure either driving with only one other person or flying.
Well, there'll probably be a car. Like, I imagine BZ and, like, a few of the guys.
Oh, yeah, but I don't want to drive with fucking seven hairy teeth down there. I did that once already. And it was
an epic article, by the way.
Oh, my God. I still, every once in a while, I'll be, like, riding the bus, and I'll remember when that fucking bird shit on Paul McKinnon. When he was in the car, it just pooped right on him. That's a magic story, folks. I don't have okay, here. Sorry, everybody thinks I don't talk about magic anymore. All right, so we talked about bird shit. Hey, that's funny. Now we can also talk about how bad a player I am. I remember when the guy, I was like, I had a Frost Titan in my M10 steel pool. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to ride this thing to victory. This and Juggernaut. Fuck yeah. And then the guy that I was playing against in like round 6 or 7 played a Frost Titan. And I like got a super boner right away. I was like, yes, all I know about this format is you want to be the guy with the second Frost Titan. Suck it. And then I promptly slammed my 6th land and played my own Frost Titan, targeting his Frost Titan. And then was like, ooh, no, I take it back. And he's like, nope. And I was like, ah, fuck. All right, well, counter that ability and go ahead and tap down my prospect. Yeah. So there you go. Fallen hard is fallen love's hard on the knees, kid. So I got some knee pads. That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Two sets.
So anyways, I'm pretty excited for all of these amazing GPs.
Yeah.
So,
like, I wish I could just make money or have a Kickstarter or something and then just go to GPs.
You know what? I wish I didn't have to work. I wish I got, like, packaged out for, like, a year's salary.
Oh, my
God. And then I'd be able to, like, just grind mono GP. Like, if I had, like, no overhead somehow.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be so sick.
Yeah.
So
like,
sick.
Oh, you know what that's called? The Jeff Foster way of life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was just about to bring up Jeff.
I want Jeff Foster's life. That guy, he knows what's up.
It's great, except for, you know, like, he sat there, he's like, it's awesome, except I'm homeless. Like, he's like, I have an address that they send my mail to, but I'm rarely there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like, who cares about that?
Yeah. You're married
now. I mean, obviously, you guys are kids, too.
Yeah.
But,
You got the wife.
I got a wife now, yeah. Fuck her.
Sorry, bud.
Well, there you have it.
KYT, we have to live vicariously through you.
Yeah.
Quit your job today.
Quit it.
Call him up. Say,
quit it. Quit it.
Yeah, this is very interesting. Scott knows what I'm talking about, and that may or may not be revealed in the near future.
Is this a way for them to take their reorganization and stuff it? You're going to reorganize your business card? Reorganize your resume?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll see. We were talking about Christmas gifts at one point, and I think I just found the intro packs I was actually supposed to, I'm sorry, Jay, supposed to give to Peter at some point to send a Hugh Sutherland. So,
oh my God, what a fucking scumbag you are.
I am a scumbag. So I think what I'm going to do is, like, if you, listener, has like a kid that you just want to have an intro pack, like give them some intro packs, then like just leave a comment and I'll just like randomly pick a winner. Like I have a Theros one, an Innistrad one, and a 2014 Corset one that I'm just happily want to ship like all three in a bundle to some cause. So yeah, just let me know.
Wow. Appreciate it.
Are you going to have a contest or just going to pick the first three people?
I'm just going to pick like the
randomly.
Yeah, I guess random or the best. It's got to be randomly. Randomly and send all three because I don't want to do separate shipping, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Be generous and cheap.
Yeah, please, just streamline listeners. The process.
Yeah, that's what it's called, being efficient.
Yeah. So if you like have a kid and they'll or probably not.
Kids. Maybe you have three kids.
Oh, maybe if you have three kids and if you, the thing is, obviously, I'm not going to pick the winner before Christmas, so you'll probably get this later, but, you know, hopefully it's an extra something for your kids to look forward to, or just some old man just wants them for himself or something.
Just stock photos of kid.
Yeah.
They're just intro packs, dude. But they do have, like, they do have boosters in them, so.
I certainly hope that there's more than three people who comment, because this would be really embarrassing of talking about what the tiebreaker is. If, like, only one guy's like, I'm interested in a pack, and it's like, you're interested in three packs? No, I'm just interested in one. You want all three? Yeah.
Which actually brings a curious question. Have any of you guys ever, like, received a Magic card as a Christmas gift or a gift?
Yes.
Yep.
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Yep.
Refresh my memory, Dad.
I've actually asked for, like, my brother. It's from my brother, right? So my brother and I are pretty good. And some, you know, what do you want this year? Oh, well, give me this. And, you know, we generally put, like, a, you know, $50, $100 limit or whatever on it. And so one year I asked for the Judge promo Mazavith when it had just recently come out. And it was, like, $40. And that's what I got.
Sweet.
That's pretty sweet. Like, I think Megan got me boosters for a stocking stuffer, maybe one.
I get that stuff too. Like my mom will buy Alex and I both boosters for stockings, like one or two.
Yeah, that's, I've never gotten anything except for the one time from it.
Yeah.
I've gotten, last Christmas I got from the Vault Legends from my brother-in-law.
Sweet.
He just bought all the individual cards off of Star City. And he also bought me like a giant stack of Murray Evans tokens, like when they used to put the pro player cards in there.
You know what is like makes for really cool gifts just for anyone out there that wants to just hit this timestamp. I don't know what it is, but we'll get Kyle to put it in the show notes. Kyle, do that.
No, he'll timestamp everything.
A really great gift for people that play Magic. If you want to surprise them with something magical, boosters are always fine, and you know, fat pack, the holiday gift box. That stuff's great. It's a good gift. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like sometimes you, as a player, I find like I can. This is a great topic. I feel like I feel sometimes bad if I don't open something great. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Mom,
you don't want to be non-excited for your booster packs.
Yeah, and it's something random, right? Like it's different if somebody gets you a video game you already have, or you said like I want Pokemon, and they bought you like Pokemon Red. From like 1998, right? Or you're like, oh, I want The Office on DVD, and they buy you like, you've never seen The Office at all, and they bought you like season 5 only, or something, you know? Or you're like, I like punk CDs, and they bought you like the punk DVD set of the show, and you're just like, oh. And they're like, yeah, because you like punks, right? And you're like, yeah, I love punks. Yay. Oh. So anyway, So that's all great, but, like, yeah, then, like, and, like, with me, I have terrible luck with boosters. Like, Megan, first booster she ever opened, M10, while M10 was, like, new, foil Baneslayer Angel. And she's just, like, she opens and she's like, oh, I got a shiny one! And, like, oh, that's, and I'm just like, yay, that's nice! Like, she probably got a fucking Grizzly Bear or something, and she goes, Bane, like, you're Angel! And I'm like, that's terrible, you should, that's bad, I'll play that one. I'll just make sure to yeah, I'll just hang on to that. But I never opened anything ever in any booster. So they're fine, but it's just like, yeah, she got me five boosters of like Mirrodin Retreat or something. What was it called? Speech?
Yeah.
And I opened them and I didn't get really anything good in any of them, right? And I was just like trying so hard to be like, thanks, I'm not gonna throw any of these out.
You know, it's like buying somebody a lottery ticket, though. Like, it's okay if you buy them like one or two boosters, because it's, you're only in like $5-$10.
Yeah,
maybe,
that's,
you know,
don't go,
you know,
crazy on
and
them.
That's fine, but like, don't buy a stack of eight boosters and be like, yeah, look, no. It's a good gift, because you're like, yeah, you're probably coming out of that with a fucking pile full of garbage and a scratch ticket that's going in the shitter. Like,
yeah, and like, and that's the thing. Like, it's just like scratch tickets. You either buy one or two, or you buy a box.
Yeah.
And that's too expensive. Don't spend $100 on magic boosters, because you can spend $100 on something sweet. But this is what's a really sweet gift. This is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So go to, and unfortunately for the parents out there, you're going to probably have to ask one of your other kids, or nieces or nephews or friends who's tech savvy, how to operate the internet. Anytime I tell my parents how to operate the internet, I'm like, they're like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, all I want is fucking footy pajamas for the last five goddamn years. Here's the URL. You know, you don't even have to know what that is. Click on the little thing and then buy it. Just fucking buy that.
You
That's
are
it.
Worse than my wife. Just get to it, buddy.
No, this is entertaining. Shut
okay,
your mouth.
Build it up. Go.
This is what I'm saying. So you figure this thing out and then you go to like starcitygames.com or channelfireball.com or one of these.com. And you get, like, the really cool, like, deck boxes with the cute little turtles on it, or the penguins. And you get some, like, limited edition tokens of, like, Brad Nelson drawn like a goat. And, like, that's what I'm saying. If you don't know what any of this is, because your kid got the show. And
okay, I think you're actually fucking wrong. You need to go to facetofacegames.com, and you need to go through, and you need to buy Sign and Blood playmats and life pads, and then
oh,
you need to buy a pile of A-Team tokens.
Oh, man, I totally
forgot. You are so fucking wrong. Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
Do that first. Absolutely.
I got that four-pack of life pads. Those things are super sweet. If
man,
you got
totally
somebody magic
that
in your life, buy those four pads, give them out one at a time to people as like a, hey, I just saw you and I play Magic with you and you're a buddy of mine and we play every Friday night Magic. Here's a present. That person's going to think you're freaking sweet because those life pads are sick.
Good. And those Ouija board fucking playmats?
They're absurd, yeah.
Absurd. Also, I totally forgot that Sign and Blood was on face2face@game.com. So go to face2face@games.com.
Yeah, they got the red ones now and they're sweet.
What's this penguin shit?
Yeah. Man,
I'm trying to visualize it.
Shit?
You can also
go to Star City Games opens and shit. They give you, like, these little deck boxes. And, like, Therese Nielsen, and I know everybody on the internet's got a bone of her because she's a girl that could draw. Woo! She drew, like, these sweet little fucking turtles and shit. And then, like, the turtles are on the deck box, and they have rocket jetpacks.
That's Liz Nugent.
Whatever. Girl drawers. Therese Nielsen did one of them, didn't she? Didn't she do the penguins, maybe?
No, I don't think so. I think all
she
of
did
the
one of them. I know she did.
She probably
maybe
did
she
one, like, way back, but all of her stuff now is this Liz Nugent shit.
Okay, I thought she did them all. So
her stuff's awesome. It's cute. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's fucking so sweet. And then you're like, oh, I fucking play Thragtusk, make a beast token because you fucking, I don't know, vapor snagged it because I'm talking about Standard from 2 years ago. And then bam-o! Your beast token is a turtle! Turtle beast! You can't top turtle beast.
Yeah, like, if I'm going to buy something, I will buy the playmats or the life pads.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing.
Those are awesome. Yeah, you can't get better than those playmats or life pads, actually.
Yeah,
the playmats, I'm not super sold on the playmats. I've never been excited for playmats, but the life pads are just, like, super awesome because you have enough room to write stuff on. So, like, when I first, like, saw their life pads at, like, GP San Diego or something like that, I was down there and I bought one. I was like, this is, like, the sweetest thing.
Wasn't it
Megan? No. They were selling them through, like, vendors in like California, at a California GP. So I bought them in like San Diego when they didn't have a booth or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was hipster Sign and Blood. I was using them before they were cool.
What are you talking about? I was using them like a year before
that. Jay was like way, way ahead of all of us.
Really?
I was like on the inside signers list.
Holy shit.
I was the guy that play tested them for him.
Wow, you are super hipster. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
God damn, and then
negative, some terrible shit happened. We're bouncing back from it. But there was also at one point we were talking about making hoodies. And we were going to make them look like the Assassin's Creed hoodies.
Dude, I'm in on that. Oh my God, I want one so bad.
Oh man, maybe we could have like fucking
dude
on the front and sign and blood on the back.
Oh God.
And
Scott, get at us. Scott, get at us.
Maybe it could be a zip up the face hoodie, and the face that you zip into is a Jobin. It's Jobin. Two first names.
If only we had a Jobin picture. Some sort of Jobin logo.
Yeah. Somebody better get us one of those soon, I feel. Like January 1st, maybe. It just feels good in my when I say it in my mouth. So magic.
I was just gonna say, didn't we start this whole conversation by talking about Magic? It's this game. We should play it.
Yes. So KYT didn't play any Magic in Honolulu because he couldn't find a store because he didn't go to Honolulu.
No. So my Magic begins. My hardcore schedule begins in January, where I'm going to. My first weekend of that month is Syracuse, New York, I think, for standard PTQ.
Nice.
Then going to the Toronto PTQ.
Before then, and when you go to New York, are you going to hang out with the hipsters of the coast crew?
Maybe.
Matt Jones is super awesome.
I feel like you should. They're fucking so awesome, and they're so bad at Magic.
Hey, Matt did really well at Toronto. He day two'd.
Okay.
Totally on a tangent.
Really, they're also really cool people. They're very super cool people.
Did you read their PTQ story?
No.
Like Matt Jones' PTQ story?
Where is all of this?
Hipstersofthecoast.com.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of these people before.
Really? I fucking tweet their shit all the time.
Yeah, they...
I listen to them on Reddit.
That's the problem.
Oh.
Yeah, because they were the only... Like, what would happen is I would go to Reddit all day at my other job. And they were the only thing in the Magic Reddit thing that was worth reading. Like, the only thing. And I clicked on it by accident. Somebody was talking about, like, playing, like, RTR Limited was the thread title. And I was like, whatever, click on this. And then it took me to their site. And then it was, like, a full article about it. And it was, like, going to a PTQ. And there was pictures. There's always pictures. The guys take so many pictures. And they're, like, talking about stuff. And they're funny. But I'm learning.
Oh,
and I'm
wait. The King's Games article?
Yes, King's Games is Hipsters of the Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I happened to the set. I read that article.
Yeah. Matt Jones, the guy who wrote that article, we had him on Monday Night Magic back when I was doing that gig. And he's just like a super cool guy. Like the Hipsters guys are all like very artistic types from Northeast there. They do Magic coverage from a completely different set of eyes, which is like the thing that's like really cool about them.
Yeah, that's what I love about it the most. Man, you just hit the nail on the head. I was trying to figure out why I liked it so much, but that's exactly it.
Yeah, it's a completely just new perspective. It's like guys who are good at the game, but just the way that they approach it. They approach it in not what like has just been like the tried, tested, and true way of like approaching Magic. And it's harder to describe, but like if you just read their articles and stuff like that, like that's just the way that I feel like their stuff is. That's what I like about them. So yeah, the PTQ story. King's Games, the place was just a dump. And that's terrible. You can't have that. And I feel like that's becoming common with some of these places. So I really like that article kind of got called out. Helene got involved. So, you know, hopefully it just means better quality of, like, tournaments in the future. But Matt Jones is awesome. And we saw him at Toronto. They were doing a bunch of stuff with, like, this site called Cast Haven. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I'm reading Matt's GP Toronto article right now.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's
really good.
These guys are so good. They're on Twitter. I believe it's Hot Seat. I believe. And then there's a column. One of my favorite columns, obviously, because I'm a limited champion, is called 2317. Because, well, I'm not going to spoil the secret. So like that's one of my favorite ones anyway. But like, yeah, they just their Twitter is Hot C Blog. It's at Hockey Blog. And then like Hunter Slayton is one of my favorite writers on the site. Mainly again because he like, you know, writes this article, which he's very hilarious. But yeah, it's just so good. So good. It's like high riba.
Yeah, sweet. That's pretty good. Yeah, he beat John Stern for his winning in.
Boom, roasted.
Cool. All right. Yeah, so KYT, Montreal. Okay, good. Yep, got it.
No. New York's second week, Toronto, and then the third week, I think it's GP Vancouver, I think. So it's like three back-to-back weekends that I'm going to be playing lots of Magic. So really excited about that. And I also have a PTQ this Saturday in Montreal that I may or may not play. I just got back from Hawaii, like really sleep deprived and don't have the cards to build the deck. So I'll see if I can get it in time. If not, I'm going to be playing a lot of Mono Black Devotion online for the next week and a half to make sure I understand every matchup and make sure I'm ready for every single thing that comes at me in January and looking to destroy.
A lot of Owen's articles on Channel Fireball have been very good. If you're looking to get an edge up to up on most of the matchups in the metagame, he's been really grinding the deck a lot, and he's been a very good resource for that deck. So I would certainly look to him for any questions that you have.
Yeah, I think it's the deck. Like my friend Max Brown just won the Invitational with it as his standard deck, the SCG one. So
can we talk about that deck for a little bit? But I'm just still has anything changed at all?
No, Jade. We're still having the same combo.
It doesn't play Whip anymore. If that's something.
Really, I really like the Whip in that deck. Why doesn't it play that anymore? What's better than whipping a gray merchant?
Pack rat.
But it already played pack rat.
No, it only played two pack rats. Now it plays four pack rats.
Yep.
Oh, I've always played four pack rats. Damn it! Why am I always so ahead of the curve and then somebody like Owen makes a deck popular and now I sound like every deck brewer on the planet? Fucking god damn it. But anyways, really?
Yeah.
I wonder what I wasn't playing. Because I played four pack rats and a whip. But see, this is the thing I don't understand. Is that deck not just a glass cannon? Like, you either get the super hype or not, or you get nothing?
Well, the thing I think that's really unique about it is that it does everything and it does it well. Like, the fact that, like, you can just, like, beat a whole bunch of people just by going turn two pack rat.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that beats a lot of decks.
All right, and if you don't have that, what do?
You kill all of their stuff with all of your removal because you have a ton of actual removal. And this format, this standard, the removal is very, it's like limited removal, where it's like, it kills this type of thing, but it doesn't kill that type of thing.
Yeah.
And like, that's, this whole standard format is actually really well defined by that there are big threats that are represented in all the major decks that there is very few catch-all solutions to, but Hero's Demise is a catch-all solution to pretty much everything except for the Blood Baron.
Mm-hmm.
So, that deck actually runs like the best removal package. Pretty much, that's its strength. And then, you know, it's one of the better one for one type things. Like if you think of like Jund, Modern Jund, how it was a very strong like one for one tools and stuff like that. But it had the ability to like accrue advantage, and that's where it gets its advantage from Underworld Connections. Like it runs main deck Underworld Connections, and that's how it can play with the control decks, and that's how it can beat the other mid-range decks, and that's how it can have that extra piece of removal to kill off the little weenie deck, even though Pack Rat should get that job done. And then you've got like just big boom boom fatties that it's like, oh, now I've got 6/6 flyers, oh, now I've got another source of card advantage through my Night Vale Spectre. And then
it sounds amazing.
Yeah, and when it's fucking just garbage.
Yeah, when it's all said and done and you're like, oh, I finally got the mono black deck, I'm on top of it, I finally have stabilized the game, they just gray merchant you out.
Yeah.
It's like as soon as you think you have them beaten, that's why like the aggro strategies, the white weenie, like the Boros style decks, those are the decks that can beat mono black. That's the decks that mono black has a tough time beating, because it can just flood the board with too many threats that the mono black deck can't deal with. And what it becomes is does the mono black deck get the pack rats? Does it have enough mutavaults to make its pack rats, like to leverage its pack rats on the crucial turns so that you can like overwhelm the white weenie deck or like at least fight them off until you win like with your inevitability late game? Or does the mono white deck just, you know, run you over? Like that's what that whole matchup looks like. But the mono white matchup is kind of the best matchup for, you know, beating that deck. So it's really strong. Like it is just one of the best options. Like that's why mono blue does very, very well also, is because it's very aggressive. Like when it comes out of the gate quickly and it has the nut draw where it's dropping its one, its two, its three, its four, you know, it can beat up on the mono black deck. But the mono black deck, again, still has tools like to beat the mono blue deck. It's got Thoughtseize. Mono blue is really terrible.
Is mono black the Jund? Like, is it the Jund of this format?
Well, that's the thing, is that I think that this is a three-headed monster. Like, that's what a lot of people, like, a lot of pro opinion is, and that's
like
what,
it's, you rock, know, like, paper, scissors?
It's basically mono black, mono blue, and then
control.
Blue, and then control, right? So yeah, whether that's Esper or whether that's blue-white, like, blue-white's the flavor of the week, or flavor of the month, rather. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I can't figure it out. I don't know, when I play it, I just want to quit Magic, and that's what's very difficult when you already are, like, bored of Magic, to get back into it when you're playing a deck where, I don't know what it is, but I just can't get it to work.
I know that you would never put money into Magic Online, but is there an interest to play on Magic Online?
Very slightly.
Okay, because...
Obviously, if someone was bankrolling me on Magic Online, I'd probably play it. But the problem is, like, things like... I know the Shuffler is random, but then, like, it just seems so terrible when you draw, like, 15 lands in a row, 10 games out of 12. And then, like, the community on there just seems really volatile and shitty. And then, I don't know. So, you know, I don't know, actually. I mean, I would, but I just don't know if it would be...
Like, that's the thing, is I have a good collection. I can lend you decks to play.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should pursue that. Maybe I should... Is your stream on pause, Scotty?
No, I'm doing my stream. Yeah, no, my stream is going strong. It's going actually really well. I've got a bunch of stuff scheduled that's been going out, and it's been doing fairly well.
Excellent.
Yep.
So maybe I should come and fight you on your stream.
You should!
Man, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I sometimes try and troll Scott's stream and play, like, just terrible decks against him.
Yeah, it makes me smile a lot.
I played Battle of Wits against him on a stream.
Right, great.
It was terrible.
It was less than good.
Yeah. But I still blame Jason for that one. That was a Monday Night Magic idea.
But yeah, it was pretty good. I like the stream a lot. It works well for me.
So KYT, is mono black going to be your deck?
Yeah. I mean, like, when, you know, talking to Max's, like, experience with it, he just said that he just picked it up, like, right before the event, and he thought, like, it's close. Like, it's not clearly the best deck, but he thinks that the two best cards in the format for him are Thoughtseize and Mutavault, and he says that's the only deck that's playing four copies of those, and that's why he thinks mono black's the best deck. I just played a bunch of two-mans, even though I haven't slept for over 24 hours before the show. I played against Matt Mealing, an Ontario veteran, mm-hmm. I would say. He was playing green-red. It was red-based with, I don't know the metagame that well, so maybe you guys can tell me. It played like, it looked like green-red devotion, but with a full set of Chandra's Phoenixes. Or maybe they came from the sideboard, and those are fucking annoying for my Desecration Demons to deal with, because they just have Pyromancer to rebuy them all back, or even played Flames of the Firebrand and stuff like that to be able to rebuy them, attack me, tap down my Desecration Demon, repeat the process with like Chandra, keep attacking me for 4-6 damage, and I was like at a loss as to how to beat that, because they got the guys to shut down the ground, and so you need to go over the top with Demon and Night Vale Spectre sometimes, and
so,
it was an interesting matchup.
How do you feel about Demon in that deck? Because somebody was telling me that it's the worst card in that deck.
It was me that was telling you that.
Yeah, and
take
I felt
that
like
a grain of salt.
And I felt like when I played it, I felt like there was just like, even in Cube, like there's when you fucking slam a turn 4-6-6 flyer, they're just like, it's just, it's such a powerful like thing to do. But then Scotty was saying, and Scotty was getting this information from some professional players, maybe?
Yeah.
And saying like it seems like it's like become fast becoming the worst card in the deck.
Yeah, the problem is it's way too, it's like everything else, right? Like it's really situational is what it comes down to. Like if you're behind, that's the worst card ever.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, that's the point.
It feels like it would be a really bad deck. Like, okay, I was talking about how, like, the very aggressive, like, the, you know, vomit out all the weenies and stuff like that onto the board type decks. Like, Desecration Demon, if you draw that and, like, that's your solution to try and stabilize the board, like, you're in really
bad
shape.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah, like, it's I think, the worst card in the bad matchup.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, yeah. It
comes
out
a
lot.
So.
Sorry?
It's.
What do you think, you fucker?
About Desecration Demon, I felt like it's just such a. The matchups I've played were like the mid-range matchup. It just felt so good to cast it and just stabilize the board. Like they just can't attack through that guy. And but like Scott said, when you're behind against a really fast deck or against this, like it felt like this deck was designed to beat Mono Black just because of the Chandra's Phoenixes that just kept coming back, and I'm just like, fuck. And just kept sacrificing his guys to be able to tap my guy, rendering it completely useless as a blocker and even an attacker. So, you know, maybe it is fast becoming the slow deck, but it's still, I feel very good casting it all the time. It still feels like the biggest threat all the time when I play it on turn four.
Yeah, it's like Polokranos, right? Like you're playing something that just has so much, I don't know, power on turn four. Like, that's just so... It just feels like cheating.
It does. I mean, like, some people have said that there's that green... What's that green reach guy's name again? The
Skylasher?
No, is it? No, the 5-5...
Oh, the big one? Arbor-Claws.
And it's just a 5-5, five, five, right?
Six? Yeah.
It says reach, yeah. 6-6 reach.
6-6 okay, reach
six,
for
5 mana.
Right?
For 5 mana.
5?
Yeah, it's triple green,
holy
too.
Fuck, that's going the queue.
It's a good card. It also has, like, the 6 mana blow away a flyer.
Yeah, monstrous. Yeah. Becomes a 9-9 or something dumb like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes I need demon to deal with that guy.
Like, even cards like that, like, those feel like Thrag Tusks to me now. Like, Thrag Tusk was so powerful because it was, like, value all day. And then I feel like people complained about that, including me, and how it was, like, just too powerful because of all this stuff. And then now I feel like it's the same with Theros. Like, I've talked about that before, how, like, every card in Theros has 10 lines of text and a million abilities, and it's very difficult to, like, I don't know, compete. But it's like that. It's like, it's a what is it, a 5-mana 6-6 with reach?
Yeah.
That becomes a 9-9.
And blows away a flyer.
Yeah. Like, that just seems so valuable.
Well,
like, fucking, when I found out that 100-handed one was a 4-drop, like, a 4-5 Vigilance for 4 is already fucking insane. Like, even in Standard, I would play something like that. Like, just, like, a 2-1 for 1, and then, like, a 2-2 First Strike for 2, or a Flyer, or something, like, in the White Weenie deck, right? And on turn 3, like, something like a fucking, the Lightsaber guy, the Paladin.
Yeah.
And then turn 4, a 4-5 with Vigilance? Who's beating you? Who's beating that? Nobody.
Like,
easy.
They're not Thrag Tusk. They're not Thrag Tusk. Like Thrag Tusk did so much. All you had to do was tap the mana, and you already got your advantage. Like that was the beauty of Thrag Tusk.
Yeah.
But yeah, these cards. These are all those very strong cards that it's like if I untap with this card, you're in a bad spot. That's the super, like, where these cards, like, are starting to come in, that you get all these, like, crazy things from Theros. It's like, if I untap with this, these cards are, like, ridiculous. They're not Thrag Tusk, though. Thank God, because that card was fucking scary.
Oh, man, it was annoying.
I mean, the Hero's Downfall just keeps everything, like, at bay. Like, they have to untap with the Arbor Colossus to kill my Desecration Demon, which, hopefully, they're not able to do. I just, like, kill it. And because, you know, demon costs 4,
So they have to go, you know, to turn five to play a Colossus, and then I untap, and hopefully I have an answer before they're able to get to six and kill it. It's not like that.
In an Arbor Colossus deck, they should be casting it on four because they should have some form of mana ramp. They should have, you know, a Sylvan Caryatid. They should have something. So it's like, if they're on the play and they drop that guy on turn four, it's like I would be very, very hesitant to run out my Desecration Demon opposite of that when they got an untapped step in front of them.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. Like it's like little spots like that. But again, that card's really fallen off the radar because, you know, we've seen a lot of place in like the green devotion decks, and like there is a bit of green devotion still happening, but like it's usually like a one of in a 75. So I don't know. If you see more people who are getting like more into the Nykthos style devotion, then he'll see a lot of play because that triple green was so valuable when he played that deck.
Yeah. And it's just funny because that's like the one deck that everyone's saying don't play right now.
Is green?
Green red devotion, yeah. Like green is just comically bad right now.
Is it? Why?
Well, I mean, it just seems to be the consensus that people are saying. It's just, it doesn't hold up well against the other decks.
Yeah.
Right? Like mono blue is just faster and flies over the top, so who cares? Yeah. And mono black just kills literally everything you possibly play. And I mean, you're playing a devotion deck, your natural loss is going to be against a control deck or a Supreme Verdict dot deck because you're relying on putting everything on the table, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough. And that's part of the reason that people are just not really playing it right now.
Yeah, mono green, like green devotion is it feels like combo in the sense that like there was a deck that did very well at the invitation, or not at the invitational, at the GP a couple weeks back, and it was like running the Revenant Hunter style of things where it's like, I'm going to run this card out on turn three and it's going to be like a 9/9.
Yeah.
And you know, like that's my trick. That's my game plan. I'm going to run this thing out and I'm going to try and run you over. And I'm going to try and get my card advantage back when I drop the Garrick the turn after it.
Yeah.
But if you don't get that ramp out.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. 9/9 Doomblade. I don't want to sound so cliche, you know, but like downfall your Revenant Hunter. Yep. Like,
it's like you've got a whole bunch of elves.
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
Well, and like, this is a good segue. Like you said, green feels like combo. That's unfortunately where my cube has gone with it as well, because it was so comically underpowered. Even if you played like the green aggro with like the jungle lion, like the savannah lions in green, and just shit like that, right? Like there's lots, or like rogue elephant, like a 3/3 on turn one, and like there's lots of stuff like that in green, and like there's, you know, there's like 4/5s for three and 3/3s for two and 4/4s for two and all this stuff, but it just became so comically bad that I had to like power it up, and then it just became like, now it's just ramp combo, like turn four Eldrazi's, turn four you know, like primordial
tooth and nail.
Yeah, and it's just basically, it's just ramp combo, that's it. And then like, sadly, because of that, what's happened too is like green X any color deck has
it's
now
just the best. Yeah.
Is the best deck ever, because all you do is just take all of the ramp and all of the fatties and you are unbeatable. Like,
yeah.
The aggro decks have to just perfectly draw you out.
I noticed that a lot when we were playing your cube in Calgary, and I can only imagine what changes you made from Theros. Like a lot of those cards that we're talking about now are good fits to that strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like all the green X decks won it, and green was so deep.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? And the problem with green is if you go the other way, because I tried to go the other way first because I didn't want that to happen. If you go the other way, it's just fucking terrible. Like Ashcoat Bear.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like who fucking wants to play Ashcoat Bear? And I forced Ashcoat Bear. Like I left it in for a very long time, and people complained about it. And I mean, even if I beat them with it, it didn't matter. Because it's fucking, it's not exciting. It's Ashcoat Bear. Who cares about that?
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, it's funny that it's kind of become like that. Like Jeremy was saying, it's either, you're either playing combo and you have to combo them, or you just, like, their cards aren't good enough.
Well, yeah. I have been actually playing a tempo blue-green deck that had won a PTQ, and I've been having some mixed results with it. Did you guys see this list?
So this is the list that won a PTQ in Brazil.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it's basically blue-green flash.
It is. That's 100%.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And there's not a single creature in there. There's not a single spell that you actually have to play on your turn.
In your sideboard, there is Bident.
Right.
So Bident is one of those cards where you can play it not at flash because.
So the problem that I've initially thought I've had with this deck, really simply, is that every single one of the cards, with the exception of like Boonsader, feels literally like a fucking draft common.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's like a whole bunch of draft cards. That's what the deck is. It's very, very linear. It's flash. So I was playing against a guy who was playing Esper Control. It's my travel buddy, Nick, that I talk about from time to time. And he was like, you know, he hadn't seen the deck before I played a Momoto with it. And he's like, as soon as I figured out what the gimmick was, then I completely changed up how I played against you. And, like, that's the thing. And like, game one, I crushed him. Game two was extremely close. He managed to, I think after the fourth Sphinx's Revelation, the game was over. But I got through three Sphinx's Revelations where, you know, it wasn't too bad. But the fourth one was the one that actually finally sealed the deal. And then game three, like, I wasn't even in it. So it was like after sideboard, he was able to bring in the tools because he figured out game one, he figured out what the trick was right away.
Yeah. And the thing with that, with decks like that too, I feel, is that like if you slip or miss your first step, then like your everything's off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like playing the what's that stupid ability where you play a guy and then evolve? It was like the Simic Evolve decks in the draft format were very powerful, but I stayed away from them like a lot because if they, like, I found where I drafted them and played them, if I stumbled, then it was like, okay, well, am I now playing my 3-drop on turn 4 to get my evolve, or am I playing my 4-drop to, but then this guy in my hand misses evolve, so then he's just like an 0-1 flyer that I'm never going to evolve, so then am I waiting a turn, but now my 4-drop is becoming my 5-drop, which makes it less relevant now? Like, do you know what I mean? It became like something like that, where it was just like a bunch of awkward decisions with bad creatures.
Yeah, your sequencing became all more important, and then like you were just relying on information that you didn't actually have to really factor into how you wanted to sequence things out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're dropping a 2-drop on turn 4 that is outclassed by their janky card. Like in Limited, yeah, Simic was a very difficult deck to play, unless you were like the only Simic player and you got all of the crazy stuff. And then even then, you just had to make sure that you just didn't get the backwards play where it's like, oh, I'm drawing the turn 6. Cloudfin Raptors, yay.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the thing, is like, I feel like it's the ultimate goldfish deck. Like, if you can get the draw, then you just are unstoppable because your deck just is too good in that fashion, tempo-wise. But if you don't, then it just falls apart and they're playing the goldfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this deck, like, I feel like the pieces have to kind of fall together because it has some natural advantages. Like, Skylasher was actually like the best card in this deck. And like that was the one thing I loved having, because that card just, against certain decks, it's just very difficult for them to deal with. But at the same time, they activate a Mutavault, like you're in bad shape.
Yeah.
So it's like little weird things like that. But like my path to victory sometimes was just Skylasher on, you know, with his end step on turn 2. And then eventually, a few turns later, bestowing a Boonsader onto it and just winning the game that way. And just sitting on like Simic Charms to bounce the things I needed to bounce, dissolve the things that I needed to dissolve. So it's a standard draw ghost style deck where you do all of your gameplay on their end step. And that's kind of neat. You know, it kind of puts the advantage in your hand because you have initiative on everything.
Yeah.
But your card quality, the card power is
so
just
bad.
So oh my god, yeah. Yeah.
So what is the game plan against like the good decks then? Right? Like I mean, how does this deck stack up against Mono Blue, for example? Like what's the good and bad matchup?
The advantage for this is that like I'm gonna go to a deck that we know is established that it's good, and that was the black white deck. And it was a white weenie deck that they splashed black in.
The sure,
advantage of splashing in the black.
Orzhov Aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Orzhov Aggressive. The advantage of putting black in is that they could play Zathrid Necromancer against the Supreme Verdict decks, and that they could tap out, put a creature on the board, and not be afraid of the Supreme verdict that, you know, is inevitably going to come because they're still going to have a board presence when it's done. This one here, like against Mono Blue, where its strength comes from, is the fact that you want to be tapping out. You want to be advancing your board. But if you're going to play a counter magic game, you can't do that. And in Mono Blue, you're only really afraid of Thassa and Master Waves. Thassa and Master Waves. Those are the cards that are actually really scary for you. So what you could do is you can sit, wait for them to cast Thassa or Master Waves. If they don't cast it, then you can put another creature on. So that's where its kind of strength came from, was the fact that, like, I can do this at the end step. After you've made your decision, I can decide whether or not I want to counter that. Is that actually a threat? And if I don't feel like countering it, I can dump a Horizon Chimera on the board. I can dump a Briar Pack on the board. I can dump a Boonsider on the board. Like, I can add things to the board, or I can counter your major threat. You know, like against Esper, one of my strengths was is that I just realized, like, he's going to draw a ton of cards. I don't care. I just need to make sure that his win conditions, there's not a lot of them, I just have to win that counter battle. I need to be in a position. And since I can do it on the end step, I can constantly create more and more, like I can put more stuff on the board, especially when you're playing against the Supreme Verdict deck, because he's going to wipe the board and you're going to untap with a threat play.
Right.
Like that's where it's like really strong, because the Mutavaults also play like a really strong role in that as well, because, you know, they survive through the Supreme Verdict. Well, it's not only a Supreme Verdict, like it's not only a Mutavault they have to deal with, it's a Mutavault and a Boonsader. It's a Mutavault and a Skylasher. It's a Mutavault and a Shamble Shark, which is a terrible card. But,
right,
you know, it's still, like, that 4 points of damage. Like, the game that, like, I beat the Esperer in, it was just, it really just, like, it wasn't a game where I was like, waha, I got you with this big out attack. It's just, he couldn't deal with the jabs. It's just nonstop jab, 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 jab. And it's like...
The GSP.
Yeah. It was the GSP. And it was like, you know, he'd go down to 4, he'd Sphinx his Revelation up to 9, then he'd go down to 6, and then, you know, it's just like these little things where it's like, then I got him to 5, then I got him to 2, and then I won. And it was just like, he just ran out of ways to deal with my threats, because every time he killed something, another one just popped up in its place. And against Mono Black, you're kind of in the same boat, where it's like, you just have to counter the things that you're really afraid of. And you've got, like, the bounce, which is really strong because, you know, if they go all in on Pack Rat, you have the ability to beat a Pack Rat. But things that you would be afraid of is, like, when they start to go crazy with, like, Desecration Demon. I think Desecration Demon is a very scary card against this deck. Like, Night Vale Spectre's not too bad because Skylasher's really good, but it dies to, you know, the removal.
Yeah.
So it gives you, like, some really interesting little spots there. But, like, some of the fun things that it did, like, Horizon Chim in play, I cast an opportunity. It's like, oh, the opportunity was Sphinx's Revelation this turn. That's kind of cute. Like, just like little things like that where it was just like I was able to, like, you know, kind of race some decks because of that. There's cards in the sideboard that I just, like, I understand against, like, the mono white type decks. Like, it's got Triton Tactics, which is like, that's a really cool card, but, like, are we really playing Triton Tactics?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
So.
But, like, you know, those cards are cards that, that definitely blow you out. Like, I remember when Frost Breath... Was it, yeah. Frost Breath?
Yeah, Frost Breath.
What does that do?
That's the one that taps up to 3 guys and they don't untap next turn.
How much does it cost, though?
3 mana?
Yeah.
I remember when Frost Breath first came out and I was playing it for some reason. And it was just like, yeah, it was just like aggro was in the format and you just play that and then they're just fucked. You just got 2 hammers on them. Like, it was basically Time Walk. And then there was another one that me and Nina really liked, Fod. What was that called? And it was
Feeling of Dread.
Feeling of Dread.
Yeah.
And I was playing Feeling of Dread for so fucking long in Delver before it became famous-ish. And because it was such a blow for them. Just like end of turn, Feeling of Dread, you untap, Feeling of Dread, you, Feeling of Dread, you, Feeling of Dread, you.
Yeah.
Like, you're dead. Take my 10 swords in the mouth. And like, so cards like Triton Tactics, like, I've easily been just super blown out by those when you're just like, yeah, attack. And they go Triton Tactics, kill your board, and then get to crank you, and then you're just like, okay, I guess I draw, go, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a race-winning card, like, that's kind of what it is. So, I don't know, it's a neat deck, I'm not going to give up on it, I'm not feeling it, though, like, that's kind of the thing, so I want to, you know, jam some more matches. And
There's a lot of feedback from the article that said that he really had to get pretty lucky with all of his matchups and such?
I think if you take this deck to a tournament and nobody knows about it, I think you can win a lot of matches based on that.
Okay.
You could, but it's the kind of deck I also feel like if you get even slightly unlucky, then you're like dead in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how it's felt played. That's like, you know, like either you get a whole bunch of like subpar creatures and no counter magic, so it's like all of a sudden having flash is actually just useless.
It's just irrelevant. Yeah.
Especially on Magic Online where it's like you can't even bluff the guy.
Yeah.
Like your idea of bluffing is not hitting F6. Like,
yeah.
That's
and then you're just sitting there clicking and you're like just demoralized.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I don't know, man. It's not for me, but there are some, you know, there's some degenerates out there that are all over that sort of thing. So if that's your bag, check that out.
Speaking of bags, how was fucking EDH?
So I actually wasn't able to go.
Garbage.
Because, yeah, the weather was such that my wife deemed, she gently suggested that I reconsider how I'm spending my time. The truth of the matter is, like, I love my wife more than anything, and the last thing that I want to do is leave my kids without a parent. So it just wasn't worth it to go down for that. And it's not to say that I didn't want to go. Joel and I had a talk about it, and I was very excited to go. I wanted to go, but it just didn't make a lot of sense for me to make the trip at that point. So we are going to reschedule, I think, for in between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm.
I hope. And we'll go from there. So I've been playing the deck a little. I have a preliminary build. I have a couple games left to play with it, and then post. And I'll post the list and the winner. So hopefully I can have that all done by Monday, so that you guys will have that in the show notes. I'm going to try to commit to that. So when you guys check out the show notes this week, you'll see the list and the winner of the $25 of credit. Because I think there's actually one that's pretty close.
Chechins.
Yeah, ooh. But I played it. The deck is very good. The one that I built, I was very pleased with it. Let me see if I can pull it out here. I can talk about some of the card choices in a general direction without going too deep into everything, which I know Jay would certainly appreciate. But basically what I wanted to do is I wanted to build a deck that, and for me it was like using Pillow Fort style, you know, like Rattlesnake Deterrence. Like, I don't like to be the dick that plays Stasis at the table, for example. But at the same time, I don't want you killing my shit, so I'm going to play Karmic Justice and Martyr's Bond. You know? So, like, those sorts of cards are the ones that I like to play. I just got to pull this out of here. I have the deck right here. Right here! Sweet. Okay, so I'm going to go over some of my card choices. Real quick. So I played a small tutor package. I played the nice little life gain themes, and I needed some card draw as well. So win conditions in the deck, I'm using the Felidar Sovereign I have. And actually, there's probably a better way to do this. Anyways, Felidar Sovereign I have, Sanguine Bond, the two-step I have as well, Sanguine Bond, Exquisite Blood combos. I had Omniscience in here, which I recently cut because I was playing Academy Rector, and I have a lot of buyback spells. So I think I may need to just reevaluate where I'm at with the spells, like the buyback removal, because like I have Capsize and Slaughter and Forbid. So when you're drawing like a million fucking cards, which this deck is apt to do like in handfuls, then you are able to use the spells and Omniscience with the buyback to just like get absurd things happening. So so it's pretty sweet. I'm playing I'm playing Sword of the Meek, Thopter Foundry.
Wow.
Surprise, surprise.
What a piece of shit.
I'm playing it with Archangel of Thune.
Ugh.
But I'm not playing on any unlimited mana or like major mana ramp commitments. So it's still one of those sort of like fair combos that just kind of grind for advantage. So that's sort of what I'm looking at. The one thing that I did find, which is really dicky, and I'm actually really excited about it, but I may cut it, I'm not sure yet, is with Aloro on the table, Pristine Talisman and Mind Over Matter is kill your opponents, draw your deck.
Hmm.
Because you use Mind Over Matter. Yeah, so it is still here. So, like, choose and discard a card, tap or untap target artifact, creature, land. So the commander says whenever you would gain a, whenever you gain a life, you may pay one colorless. If you do, draw a card and each opponent loses a life. So you basically, like, have Mind Over Matter on the table and you tap the Pristine Talisman to add a white, to add a mana. You gain a life, you use the mana to draw a card and deal one to your opponents, and then you discard the card you drew to untap your Pristine Talisman. So not only do you gain as much life as your deck, but you deal that much out to your opponents. Pretty sweet, huh?
That seems fucking crazy.
Yeah, but it's just a, one of those cute interactions that I found. Like, I wanted... Mind Over Matter seemed like it would be pretty sweet just to twiddle a bunch of stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I realized that I had that little combo, I was like, ooh, that's really sweet. Because you can use, like, just the cards. Like, you do draw a lot of cards with this deck. Just based on the commander being who he is and just, like,
right,
God spells and stuff. Like, if you ever get Well of Lost Dreams going, you're probably going to win.
I don't even know what that card does. So
Well of Lost Dreams is, like, one of the reasons to play the colors. It's so crazy. It's a 4 colorless mana. Whenever you would gain life, you may pay X mana, where X is equal is up to the amount of life you gained, and then you draw that many cards.
Oh.
So, like, I gain 2 life, I pay 2 mana, I draw 2 cards.
Wow.
That's right?
Quite tasty.
Yeah, that's sort of what I thought. And I mean, like, you're gaining 2 every turn with the Loro, you know, so, like, that's good. And then you got Drog Skull Reaver in there, too, so whenever you gain a card, like... There's all that sort of stuff. And all the removal is like universal, targeted, and fairly good. Like, I'm running Ablation, Unexpectedly Absent, like the sort of stuff that allows me to, like, tuck commanders or target anything. Cyclonic Rift is in there, you know. I think I cut Deadeye Navigator, but I have Ashen Rider and Angel of Despair in there, which seems pretty sweet. Filigree Angel. Yeah, I think I cut it. Yeah, I cut Deadeye Navigator because I didn't want to be that guy. But I could totally, I could totally see using Deadeye Navigator with the Ashen Rider. It seems like it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty sweet. A couple spicy cards. List is generically good. I'm excited. I like it a lot. There's a few cards that so I have a Force Field coming for this deck.
Sweet.
Which is something that I'm very, very pleased about. I have a Righteous Aura in here, which is a really nice card. It's from Visions. It's white.
Perfect.
One. Yep. White one enchantment. Pay 1 white and 2 life. Prevent all damage to you from any one source. So very important because it doesn't target, and it prevents all the damage. So it really does a lot of work in helping out with the Voltron commanders. And they can, like, attack you with their fucking 50-50 commander, and you're like, yep, 2 life, thank you. And it's not even commander damage, it's just 2 life.
Huh.
So it's a pretty sweet card. But yeah, so there's some things that are missing still, and I think I may be overboard on a few things, and mana, after playing with it, I needed to tweak a little, you know. But otherwise, I like where it's at so far, and I believe it's got a lot of good reach on the long game. So, yeah, pretty sweet.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But I played, as far as standard goes, I played Blue White Red Devotion this week, or Mono White Steam Vents on stream this week.
Nice. Ooh. Mono White Steam Vents, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, it's actually very good. We actually went
6-0. Wow.
In 2-man queues. Yeah.
Nice.
The deck does very poorly against Blue White and Esper, and basically has pretty good matchup against everything else. So, yeah, so, like, it's a Mono White Devotion deck with a pile of sweet red cards and Sphinx's Revelation and Detention Spears. So, like, that's where the Mono White Steam Vents piece comes in.
Yeah.
But it's really, really neat. That's the other card that I need to get. Shit, I forgot. I was just shopping earlier and I'm like, there's something else I gotta get. What is it? It's 3 copies of the White God. That's what I need to get.
Oh, Heliod.
Heliod. Yeah. This is a sweet deck. You guys should definitely go check out the stream. The games were great. And we played against a whole bunch of stuff, except for, obviously, Blue-White. I played a game against Blue-White today. I got smoked. Game 1, I got killed. I fell behind. Game 2, he didn't quite know what was going on. I demolished him. He kept a bad hand, and he got punished. And then Game 3 was a nice long ordeal, but, you know, back and forth, he ended up getting there. I think I sideboarded wrong, but Yeah, it was good. It's good. So, yeah, I'm happy. That was exciting. I'm actually building the deck in paper.
Nice. That's fucking exciting, man.
Yeah. So I was just like, it plays all the sweet cards that I want to play, like Sphinx's Revelation and Boros Reckoner and Detention Spheres are sick and Angel Serenity, Archangels of Thune. Like, there are things happening in this deck that make me excited.
I think you should get that deck from shipping manager Wyatt Gillis for face-to-face games. Get a picture of it, too.
It's not a bad idea. I think to complete it, I think I need 3 Heliods and I think I need 2 Assemble the Legions. And I think I have the rest of it. I may have to buy a couple more Mizzia Mortars just in case. But other than that, I have the entire deck. It was a lot of fun. And I had Alex Bianchi on as well, who is a regular writer for ManaDeprived.com. And part of the Asian crew that comes up from, I guess, are they from Detroit or Buffalo? They're from Buffalo.
Yeah.
For all of our big Toronto events, and it's amazing. And I love hanging out with those guys. So when I saw them at GP Toronto and they came out to party, I was like, yep, stream, let's go. And it was a blast. We had a good time. So, yeah, the deck was fun. It's definitely an FNM deck. Like, I wouldn't take it to a GP, right? Because the mana actually is atrocious. Like, so bad that I'm playing... there's 2 Prismatico... what are they called? The Prisms? Prophetic Prisms. There's 2 Prophetic Prisms in the deck because the mana is that bad. But aside from that, it's a lot of fun. So, like, Precinct Captains on 2, and you got Chained of the Rocks. Like, it does so many things. It beats so many decks and fails so badly against control. Cannot beat Aetherlink. Ever. Cannot happen. That card resolves, you might as well just scoop. If you can't race immediately, scoop. But like, other than that, it's got a pile of cards against all the rest of the matchup, so it was a lot of fun. The 2 decks that I will have built in standard at any given moment right now, like until Born of the Gods, will be Jund and Blue Eye Red for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Sweet. I mean, I may still be able to get away with Mono Blue. I think I can have that built too, but yeah, so that's what I'm playing. So it was fun. The Jund lists, look for Jund coming up on, not this week coming, like not today, because you guys are listening to this on Monday. But the following week, I'm actually going to go back to Jund. I've got John Cuvelier. He's going to be on the show. And that's really exciting for me, too. John is actually an ex-legit MTG writer, went to Star City for a while, and now is over a TCG player. He's from Florida. He's a fairly well-regarded grinder down there, and he was well known for his Jund lists last season, and he posted an article on TCG Player about them this week, and as soon as I read it, it was a really good article, and I had a lot of people ask me about, you know, more Jund videos, specifically because they really like the build, because people are tired of playing Devotion unless you are a soulless sucking human. Anyways, so that said, yeah, they want more, so I'm gonna bring it back for a week with John, with Kubi. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. Yeah. And a known, the Gozu, right?
Yeah. 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 So I'm pretty stoked, man. That's going to be sweet. And then the only other thing that I've been doing with my time is I started a Crusader in Diablo Reaper of Souls closed beta. Oh, I guess I'll suck it. 6 frags.
I'm not excited about that.
Oh, it's sweet. It's actually very sweet. So far, a lot of the changes have been really, really good. I'm really pleased with it. Yeah. KYT, you got to get on my level, son. Like, I started from scratch, like brand new level 1. Let's go.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm playing the new guy, the Crusader. He's very much like a paladin. So the idea is he's just like this tank. So it's like the barbarian was built so that he could be like damage per second, right? Just like crazy, deal a shit ton of damage. Or there were ways you could build him and spec him out to be a tank. But it was very difficult to do both. So my understanding is that this guy is designed to be a tank.
Okay.
With some really reasonably powerful special abilities. So I'm pretty excited. You're able to copy over your characters from your other games too,
Okay, to try out the new spells, I guess.
Yeah. So I did that as well. I haven't actually loaded any of them up yet, but I have brought my crazy level 60 monk over. So we can game either way. But I was thinking for sure, because I think if I read the terms and conditions of the closed beta, I don't think they prohibit streaming, because there's people that are streaming it now.
Yes.
So I think I may do some of that this holiday season. So I'll do that over on my Mr. Scotty Mac Twitch account.
Woohoo!
Yeah, KYT will be playing with me too, so you can, and we'll do it on Skype, so you guys can hear it, and it'll be funny.
Oh shit!
That'll be a thing.
And keeps running.
That's right. So that's what I've been doing. I've been like working like a fiend, and I'm putting together like so many standard decks and EDH and modern, and I'm just like looking for some time to game. It's gonna be sweet.
And sculpting your body like a god.
Yeah, I am going for that. I legally hit my BMI reached a point that I'm legally no longer obese.
Nice work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice fucking work. Bye.
That was a big thing for me.
That's huge, man.
It really is.
It's actually less than huge.
Whoa! Somebody's got jokes.
It's actually only overweight. Yeah.
Good for you, man. That's crazy.
It feels amazing. I'm going out to a gala this weekend.
A gala?
It's like our company Christmas party, but like TELUS is throwing a big black tie affair. So nice. I had to go and rent a tux.
Fucking TELUS Christmas party.
Well, no. It's a black and it's like a black tie affair. Like that's what they said. Like it's very clearly
they always say
big
that.
Thing. Yeah. They arranged discounts at a place to get tuxes. Like this is what they're encouraging. Like it's everyone wear black and white. It's
people.
So I went out and I had to rent a tux because I have no formal wear that fits me.
Right.
So I had to go and rent one, and I realized that I'm exactly two suit sizes smaller than I was.
Then at my wedding?
Yep.
Wow, Zorth. Man, I was looking at my wedding pictures the other day, and I was like looking at myself in the mirror, and then I was looking at the wedding pictures, and I was like, man, I was fat as fuck at my wedding.
You must have fat yourself from working actually at a physical job instead of sitting on your ass cramming Twinkies in it all day.
Heck. Well, I was.
Man, I was fat as fuck. I've
been sweating and shitting out all the weight.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Good for you for not being morbidly obese anymore.
Thanks. I'm really excited.
That's the only time you can ever use the word morbidly, by the way. That is morbidly obese, and I'm glad that you're no longer morbidly.
Well, what's higher, obese or fat as fuck?
Oh, man.
I think
that guy is fat as fuck.
I think it's obese, and then it's fat as fuck. And then after that is morbidly obese.
Isn't one just slang for the other? Wouldn't it be like the difference between cat and the
people? No, like if you, like if you're saying somebody is obese, like you're not joking around, you're concerned.
Like, you call somebody fat as fuck or a lard ass piece of shit or whatever, and that's okay. That's just like, you're a really big guy and I'm ribbing you. But as soon as you say, dude, you're obese.
Like, oh man, like did you see Scott at Jay's wedding? Like, oh yeah, look like he was obese.
It's like, can't wait to be so quiet, and then it's like, car, seriously,
yeah,
quiet.
It's like the middle name treatment.
Yeah.
It's like Jeremy Morgan Schofield.
Oh, come on, Morgan, really?
Wow. Yeah, what's your middle initial?
R.
Robert.
Ooh,
Richard.
Close.
Randy.
Close first time.
Robin.
Yes.
Is it Robin?
It is Robin.
Robin Schofield.
Of course it's fucking Robin.
Of course.
It's close to Morgan. That's close to Morgan.
It's close to Morgan.
I apologize.
They have an N in it. They both have an N. I will give you that.
Blammy.
That's fucking terrible.
So, no, that's pretty actually. That's pretty sweet that you're not fat as fuck anymore.
Yeah.
Have you had to buy all your clothes yet?
No, so it's kind of sweet. Two things have happened. I actually, like I said, I've been up and down a few times, so I still have a stash of clothes that were like my nice clothes that I bought then. that are still nice and in good shape because I took care of them because I spent a lot of money on them.
All right.
So like nice dress shirts and ties and stuff like that. So I'm able to wear some of that stuff again, which is cool. And my boss actually also has like dropped a pile. And so he has this amazing shopping pedigree where he will go to the most strange places to find deals and get like these like unreal shit for dirt cheap. So yeah, I've got like some really nice stuff coming my way because he's now also shrunk past it all.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's just like shirts and stuff, like nice Tommy Hilfiger shirts and shit, and like nice golf shirts for the summer. Like I'm pretty set there. And yeah, so I'm quite fortunate in that capacity. And yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah, so I can't wait. I have literally now about 13 pounds left to lose to hit my 20% body mass target. And I have 2.5-3 months to do it.
Nice.
Yeah. How are the rest of y'all doing?
You fat fucks?
Fat fucks?
You fucking sweaty fat fucks out there?
I didn't participate.
Yeah, that's right.
But I've got a cold right now, so I figure that's going to really help.
You're like a fat, lazy fuck.
Yeah. You're
like obese and shit.
I'm not obese and shit. I'm looking all skinny and stuff because they make me shave.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh, man.
That's true, actually. You were looking pretty hot.
I'm sure there was like a spider nest in the toilet is what it looked like.
Probably.
There was so much facial hair I had to take off.
It's messed up, man.
That's how thin is your beard now, Jay?
Oh, it's like I can feel my face when I touch it.
Are you serious?
Oh man, it's not even 3D anymore.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Fucking it's all gone, yeah.
That's the worst feeling, like when you feel air touch your face. It's so hot.
Yep. It's like the only reason why I still have all my shaggy hair.
Ugh.
Like I want to cut my hair so bad because it's just like so long and everywhere. But it's fucking so cold when I poop.
Okay.
Because I have to poop outside now.
Do they make you poo in porta potties?
Oh, yes.
Oh man. That's actually the difference between the union.
Oh,
the union,
fuck.
You
and
have to get
so
a heated
terrible.
Wash car.
It's so cold that somebody the other day, Monday, took a shit on the third floor in one of the toilets that wasn't hooked up.
No, that's just because it's a toilet. People are lazy.
Well, yeah, that too. Who does that? Who just has the time to shit in a building being constructed?
There is always a guy who's like that. Like we're doing concrete slabs, and like we have tarps up, and there's this like one Brazilian guy who just like goes and pisses on the slab. Like we're all working, and he just like walks right to the middle of the slab, right next to the drain. He pulls his dick out and pisses right on the slab.
Established dominance.
Absolutely. Like I don't want to look towards him because he might make eye contact, and I know he would. He's just that type of guy who would just
then,
be like.
Then you're not alpha. You're not alpha.
I don't even want to go into that. Like I don't want to, you know, see what the outcome of that is.
The other day, as I was walking away from my place of business, I saw a truck come to a stop in the middle of the road. The door opened, and then, oh, hello, Mr. Drywaller I worked with all day, just whips his dick out and pisses on the street from his seat in his truck with the door open.
Just pick it out.
Whatever. Just pissing. And then close the door. Fucking green light. Burp.
You know, in order to have a technique like that, you know he's got to do that all the time.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's not something you get right the first time you try it.
No, that's a practice thing, man. Yep. So, yeah. That's great. Don't you wish you could do that, Scott, at your job? Just fucking
seriously.
Piss on the floor?
Seriously, dude. Never in a billion years.
I can't cut my hair because, like, when I poop, it's so cold that my butthole shuts. And that's terrible. When you have to poop, but you can't poop. I've never experienced that before, ever. It's a terrible feeling.
Wow. That's just, like, way too much information for anybody.
No, man, people gotta know this stuff. Also, A-Team listeners, special project for you. First of all, submit a fucking logo that isn't the exact goddamn same 100 fucking times. Thanks. Number two, all my music got deleted somehow, goddamn computer, and I need some new music, and I'm trying to search for some, and all I've found so far is Bon Jovi and Aerosmith. So hook me up with some music. It doesn't have to be new. It could be old stuff that I've forgotten about, you know? You know? So, there you go. Yeah. That's your mission.
I think the logos, like, I think the fact that, like, these guys have been, like, trying to refine their logos over and over again is actually, like, a positive thing. Like, that's a good thing.
Me too.
Stop that is,
yeah.
Like, oh, me too. I think it's fucking amazing. My big thing is just that, like, after a point, you start refining away the good because you're overanalyzing.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
yeah.
What is it?
And
the
I've
stupid
noticed
saying.
That happen.
Like, it took two people to paint the Mona Lisa, one to paint it, the other person to tell them to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like. Is that like actually happening? Because I think it was like
it is.
I think,
it
is it? Oh my goodness! What is the guy's name? The guy who's done like the A-Team one that's all like the paintbrush style.
Arizuka.
Yeah, Arizuka. I think Arizuka just needs to like either stop and start with a new creation if he wants to like put something else in there. Because everything that he does to that logo, he just makes it worse.
Oh my god, I know. Well, there was one thing that sort of made it a little bit better, and it was when he added, did he add, like, paint splatter?
Yeah, he added a little bit of paint splatter to the actual leaf itself.
Just the slightest bit.
Yeah.
And
that
looked,
was okay.
It was well, okay.
Like, trying
it looked,
to jam the mana symbols in there was just, like...
Yeah, and it was, and it's not like, you know, we don't appreciate the effort, because, like, he's trying to make it the best so he can win, and also so that we have a great logo. But
I still think it's the best.
Like, I was ready... like, last week to pull the trigger and buy shirts from him.
Oh, yeah.
Oops, man.
Like, I fucking would have done it. I've just snapped one. Then, what happens here? Proxy guy hears us talking smack. He's saying number two, and fucking Arizuka number one, we're all got mad boners. Motherfucker comes out with a fucking mascot, and then puts it on a hat, and it's the coolest motherfucking hat I ever seen. I was inspired to break dance by seeing that.
Motherfucker was going to dance.
I mean, these two are the front runners, right? From
easily.
What?
Yeah, easily.
Kevin Metal's one with the drawing of the crayon. That one's pretty close.
That's a special edition.
Yeah, that's I think we're gonna keep that one.
That's a special edition. We'll put that one in the back pocket.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like that's like the nice part and kind of the troubling part is that like I haven't seen very many new submissions. We've had a couple here and there.
Yeah,
and you know like. Those two guys, like, just get, like, seriously, like, the stand-up slow clap because, like, they are just, like...
Like, you've seen that Wiser commercial?
Yeah.
Where the guy, like, picks up his wife's purse with the fucking...
Yeah! Exactly.
And then all those old, dirty men are just like...
Yeah, that is
that's
exactly
the fucking... That's the, like, Josh and Arizuka, that's what they get.
Because those guys have just been, like, they're just throwing down. They both think the other guy's stuff is better. And
yeah.
Like, honestly, if we like, I personally believe that if I like reached out to either of them and said, "Hey, you can be the winner, but you get no prizes," I think they would snap take that.
Oh
like,
yeah.
These guys are doing it for pride now. Like the prizes are cool, but like you can tell these guys they want to win it, and like they've been super respectful with each other. Like they tag each other on each one, so it's like you got like this like friendly competition thing going
it's,
on.
It's like yeah, it's very funny that they're like. Like, Arizuka will be like, oh, here's the new fucking Blammo, and it just, like, pastes it right onto Lady Gaga's fucking new album. Like, just boom! My album's better than yours, Josh. Suck on that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then Josh's like, oh, what do you think about these moose horns? Oh, are these ones better, Arizuka? Oh, tell me.
I'm torn. I think I'm falling in love.
I don't want to discourage new entries or anything, though. Because
no, right. Somebody else to come in there and slap their dick around.
Fucking Jeff Woods, motherfucking rock star on Twitter at R4W4R4Q4P4. he just like out of nowhere was just like kablamo, and then it was really good. Like his submission, he's just like, I don't know how to do anything with fucking Photoshop or anything. Maybe somebody else could clean this up. But there am somebody take a look at this. This is my submission. And then it was actually super good. Like, I almost did. So, like, you know, somebody out there could just, you know, slam it.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting vote.
decision.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I'm really liking the Jobin from the proxy guy now. I like
the Jobin.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
I mean, because like I also like don't want. I want like for me, I want the logo to be Magic related, but not to have anything that's like Wizards property.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like really important for me. And you know, the Jobin one is just like that's like, you know, having it look like Magic but not being a ripoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys saw the stuff from Rise. When it came out like 3 or 4 years ago, they made like some shoes and they made a bag that I bought, a really nice canvas bag
bought.
Okay, so that stuff is like so fucking badass because like the bag is sitting right here because I was actually going to give it away, but nobody claimed it. But it's like, okay, so it's a white canvas bag. Then just in one of the corners of the flap of the bag, it's got like this black paint splotch, like just, right? And then in the negative space of the black paint splotch, they've got like white negative space of the fucking black mana symbol.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's not inside a circle. It's not anything magic related except for that it's the skull. And the black magic skull is very distinct, right? So it looks so fucking awesome. And so many people have commented on it that aren't magic players. They just know, they just want to know what, like, that it's like where I got it because they want to buy one because they think it's cool. But they're not magic players, right? And so there's like that's what I'm thinking of in my head, right? Like I'm thinking of a logo that's so fucking cool that it transcends magic and podcasting. But if a magic podcaster or a fan of ours or like looks at it, they immediately know it's like an inside joke, but it's like a broad inside joke. You know what I'm saying?
Now to do that, wouldn't you have to not have it reference the A-Team at all?
Yeah, fine. I don't care. I didn't say to reference the A-Team. I said to make me a logo.
Because that's one thing that we see in a lot of the logos. They all say the A-Team.
Yep. And a lot of Maple Play.
Yeah, but I'm loving the work that we've been seeing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely happy with, like, if you told me that you guys came to a consensus with like just like 3-2 already, like regardless of what me and Kyle say, I would be happy with any of them. So that's just saying a lot.
So we're clear, and all of you, so you're all on equal footing here. There are 5 of us that are making this vote. We will not be offering it out to you guys like we did with our name. This is our brand, is something we're taking pretty seriously. But we are all going to offer, like, we're going to do it. So there's 5 of us, and it will be the 4 of us and Kyle.
Yes.
So that way we can guarantee that we're not, like, hung 2-2, and that we can actually get some decisions made. So I'm pretty excited about that.
So feel free to, you
know, bribe, cajole, or otherwise try to
exactly.
do whatever you need to do.
Exactly. You've got to lobby for your favorite. The
oh, yeah.
You
want
to buy,
even...
so do it on the Twitters, do it on the comments.
Oh, yeah. I'm not opposed to fucking just voting for whichever one I see the most. Come on.
I know, it's tough. It's actually tough.
It is. I was just expecting it to be, like, just the proxy guy, easy win. Like,
no,
whatever.
No. I was blown away.
Had you not shown me the Airzooka one, it'd be no contest still.
Yeah. Airzooka was the first one that gave a first, like, blammo me, but now, like, yeah. Having a mascot, that side of it is pretty strong, too, so.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm all about a brand, right? I mean, that's something that we've talked about off air, and I'm very excited about that. So, I mean, that all plays. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, for me, it's like, or it looks like a, like, you know, the pirate, the Jolly Roger?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
But like A-Team styled.
Yeah. I fucking love it. And I love that Kevy Metal has named it Jobin. Like the fucking 2 first names, Bucktooth fucking pirate, Jobin.
I don't think it was, I think it was Proxy Guy that named it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it was Kevy. He had the whole vision for that guy. Yeah.
There you have it. But yeah, I just love it. Like, it just is so fucking cool looking. And it's, and it, like, epitomizes Jobin. Like, it's such a wiener kid. It's such a super wiener kid. Like, it's just drawn, like, it's like Little Tim. I feel like it's just gimpy. Yeah, I love it. I dig it.
Good. So, what's next on our list? Gentlemen, or are we, where are we at?
Gunter Gleben, Glauben, Globen.
GP Train is awesome. I'm excited to be able to be a part of that, because I know that that was kind of like a rough point, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. So
awesome.
I didn't have to do any like sketchy scumming or anything.
Is there going to be Wi-Fi on the train?
Yep.
Oh, photo drafts.
Yep.
Paper drafts.
Yep.
Booze cube. Go. I actually applied to judge for the event.
Did you get accepted or turned down?
I will not know until, let me see, when does it close? I don't know. In like a month. Yeah, it's, I think that the project closes, because the way they have a website set up, so you apply through that, and then afterwards they'll get back to you, but it's usually like just shortly after the applications close, and it closes on the 18th of January. So, but it's kind of like, if I get to judge it, hey, that's cool. If I don't get to judge it, then I guess I just get to play. That's exciting. I like to play music. But I'm just really happy to be able to get out there. And I'm hoping that we can all get out there. Jay, is that still a possibility for you, buddy?
No, I'm out.
You're Jay's out?
Definitely out.
Unfortunately, I'm outie.
Yeah. No!
Yeah.
The only way Jay's going to make it is if somebody wants to sponsor his plane ticket.
Yeah, which unfortunately is, like, probably not feasible. But
ugh.
I know, it's fucking brutal.
Super brutal.
But it's like $1 billion.
It's a lot of monies.
So
it's definitely a lot of monies.
Can we hide them?
It'd be nice. It would be nice if Western Canada could get stuff like that, and then have Western Canada actually fucking show up for the event. You know, like didn't GP Toronto or something get like 1,600 players?
Yep.
Yeah, that's three times the players GP Calgary got, and twice as many as GP Vancouver.
Well, there's just a lot of people who live over there.
But you know what I mean? Like, it would just be nice if it was, like, kind of the same, because then we could continue to get them over here. But I feel like I don't know what it is. It's like I said, Calgary and Alberta and stuff, it's like, we're super competitive, but it doesn't seem like, it feels like it's a very core group of super competitiveness. And then from there, like, there's just no in between. Like, no one else cares about it. You know?
We have a pretty good density. Like, I think we get, like, for what our population density is, I think that we get an obscene conversion to, like, actual players showing up for events, but we just don't have the population density. Like, there just isn't enough people here. And we're in Canada, so the flights are just terrible.
Yeah, they're just fucking rank.
Yeah, like, the beauty behind the whole GP train idea is the fact that we can get the Americans to fly to, like, Buffalo and bus them over, fly them to Detroit and bus them over to the train, and go from there. Like, that's the beauty of it, is that we're just going to try and get them close, and then bring them the rest of the way through Canada.
And that's the thing for me. I would definitely be able to if I could get close. But that's the thing, is for me to get close, it would cost like infinity dollars, and I don't have the time.
Yeah.
Like, the time is a big one too, right? So.
Yeah.
Jeez. Sad. Yeah. Well, that means that we're going to have to make something work in the summer, then.
Yeah.
Like GP Baston.
Baston?
That's so fucking sweet.
That would GP Infinite Dollars.
GP Finland.
That's probably there. GP Cheaper.
GP Cheaper. Yeah, it is. I can fly to London for cheaper than I can fly to fucking Tirana.
God, that's terrible.
Yep.
Canada.
Yeah. I don't know why our flights are so expensive here either. Fucking goddamn.
Taxes.
But, like, why doesn't America have that then? Fucking goddamn.
They don't pay taxes. Well, they do, just not like we do.
I pay healthcare.
Exactly.
Yikes.
You were talking about playing a beta. I gave Hearthstone a try, thanks to our awesome listener. I got to sit and play around with that, and I enjoy kind of the experience, but I really just don't feel like the game is like super
deep.
Deep. No. Funny thing, Doug Potter, guy who is you know, a Team Mana deprived guy.
We're familiar with Doug the Troll. No,
Doug the Troll. Doug is like apparently ninth in North America right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, on like on points or something
in Hearthstone, yeah.
In like
oh, Minecraft. Crazy!
He's just been playing the hell out of it. So you know that's cool. The one thing I love about it is like the way their arena works, where it's like you build a draft deck and then you just play games until you lose three matches and then you're done. But you can like play a match, disappear for 3 days, come back, play another match,
yeah,
and just keep going. And it's like. The thing I think I love about it the most is that it reminds me of Moto Leagues.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and that's one of the features that people, obviously is why we want it back on Moto, but that's one of those things that have really drawn people in about Hearthstone.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of those areas where it's like, me as a player who wants to play competitive Magic, but doesn't have time to sit down and run a whole tournament at once.
Yeah.
A league gives me the ability to still play like a limited competitive type event where I only have to jam 5 matches in a week. And like I can be good with that. And like I really like that whole concept. So I'm you know, they had another State of the Union that they put out and they said that, you know, leagues are definitely coming back and they've been saying that same thing forever, but you know, this time
for fucking 10 years.
Yeah, but this is like the one time where I think like this is the first time where I've really read urgency in them. Like, I think they realize that they're just, like, they're getting throttled now. Like, they are going to lose their customers to Hearthstone. Like, right now, Hearthstone is getting tons of viewers, it's getting tons of, like, people playing it, and the game is not, like, open. You still have to, like, work to get into that game. And it's blowing them out of the water in a lot of, like, these metric type things. And, like, they're going to lose a lot of ground to that game when it fully launches. Soulforge just launched their stuff, and I'm really excited to try it out. I've been
draft.
Seeing
it, yeah, so. Soulforge can draft now.
Yeah, so I'll probably be doing a bunch of that over like the next bit here, because like I've got like maybe a half day of work tomorrow, and then I'm done for like a few weeks. So it's like I'm super stoked to just play the hell out of Magic and play some Hearthstone.
I'm off for 2 weeks after tomorrow as well, so maybe that'll be when I find my Magic spark again.
Exactly.
There's been some feedback actually about the Soulforge drafts is that they need to start fleshing out, like it's also suffering from the same not as deep phenomenon is what I'm hearing, but it's definitely interesting.
See, the thing that I thought was really weird about theirs was that it's limited to 3 rounds.
Oh really?
Yeah, like all of their tournaments are 3-round tournaments. So it's like in 3 rounds you don't get enough matches. Like when you're playing a daily, your first 2 rounds in a daily can be, like, against, like, 2 complete derps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be playing against, like, random pile of cards that the guy has a bunch of commons and he bought a couple booster packs and he doesn't have any cards. And then, like, round 2 could be against, like, a tier 2.5 deck. And then, you know, like, the last round, you finally play against the real deck. You finally get to play against somebody that, you know, you're actually, like, why you're playing competitive Magic, so that you can test against the best.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where that 4th round, like where you crush that guy, then all of a sudden it's like you're playing against a good person playing a good deck. You know, like round 4, you should be finally in that spot.
Yep.
So yeah, it's like that's one of the feedback I've seen for Soulforge. So I don't know. I played a lot of Soulforge. I feel like, you know, if they had like a win-loss rating, I would actually be doing very, very well at Soulforge because I don't drop very many games of that. But yeah, I'll see how it goes because I'm interested to see how the tournaments go and all that stuff and how that plays out.
Yeah, Jay, if you're are you interested in a Hearthstone beta key?
No.
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 All right. Even though you're off for 2 weeks.
Yes. I am over it.
Jay, we're gonna play some Moto.
All right, let's
do it.
Download
a Moto client.
Jam.
And I will hook you up with cards. We will.
Oh, play. Then I have to re-download it.
Hey, right now, Holiday Cube's on there also. I know that you don't want to put any money into it, but they actually have, like, the Crazy Cube right now.
Hmm.
And the Crazy Cube is entertaining.
That would be sweet, actually.
Yeah. That would be a fun stream. Maybe you could do, like, a J stream.
I don't know how to make streams, and I don't have a webcam. So I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. You know what I'm
streaming can help you.
Right. Is it free?
Yes.
Yeah, I could make it free for you, yeah.
Cool.
So, like, you wouldn't even need, like, we would just stream together and you would just do it and I'll just facilitate.
There you have it.
Stand there and ask you questions about why you're doing things. It'll be fun.
Oh, man, that sounds like a disaster. Huh. Well, if the listeners want me to do a stream, maybe I'll do a stream.
Yeah, I guess they'll have to chime in and leave a pile of comments and we'll just count them. And I'll tell you what, if you get, like, 50 people asking you to do it, then we'll have to do it.
Oh, my God, yeah, maybe. Holy fuck.
How's that the number? We'll set the number, the over-under? Do you want to make it 25 or is 50?
50. 50 for sure.
All right.
Should we do, man, like, a crowd participation? Should we make everyone send, like, Kevy, like, penises on Twitter?
Yes. Yep.
If Kevy gets sent 25.
No, you have to send Hobbs and Kevy. You have to send Kevy penises or Hobbs Q on Twitter spiders.
How do you need a spider?
He's, like, afraid of spiders, and he's one of our biggest fans.
Yeah. How do you do an ASCII spider?
No, you send him a picture of a spider.
Oh, yeah, we can use pictures.
Yeah.
This is the future.
Yeah, it is.
You idiot. The future is now.
Sweet. This is a good crowd participation thing.
Yeah.
So we get to troll and get crowd participation. Go, Jobins.
Go, Jobins.
Go, Jobins. Go, Jobins. Go.
Go,
Jobins. Holy shit. This is pretty awesome.
Okay, that's...
KYT, are you awake?
Hello?
Wake up, yeah. KYT.
I am awake.
I actually believe he may have fallen asleep. Like, having like been to Hawaii all week and then to office and then back, like, I actually believe you could have been sleeping.
I mean, I had to take, like, a quick nap just so I could survive this cast.
I saw you fucking post a selfie from the gym with your big fat belly hanging out. What's that all about?
Whoa.
You're fat as fuck, remember?
I'm fat as fuck.
That's right. Oh, God, that was funny.
How was... So did you work out every day?
I swam almost every day, like, to one in the morning.
Wow.
Pretty sweet.
That's scary, man. That's scary. It's all dark and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really... I don't swim as efficiently as my friends. Like, it takes me a lot of fucking effort just to get...
Swimming until 1. They were there already. Yeah. They were just catching up.
Yeah.
Just go ahead without me, guys.
Yeah. Save me a beer.
Why exactly is it that it's harder for you to swim? Is it because your head
giant noggin?
Your head is not naturally buoyant? Like, what is it exactly?
Yeah, I guess.
He just drags on the ground. He has to have fucking 2 snorkels.
Fuck.
Actually, I've never been taught how to swim properly. It's just like, I just tried to wing it, and the technique that I have is awful. That's all. What's the point?
This is such a great story. There are so many things about this story that are great. What a fucking super joke. Turbo dirtle.
It reminds me of one of the comments. Great cast, guys. I love how KYT shows up half in the bag and finally does some talking on an episode. Although once KYT starts talking, everyone on the cast rags on him for talking too much and taking forever to tell stories. I guess that, judging by history, if KYT says more than 4 sentences together, then he is rambling. Let's wrap this up, Scott.
All right.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
Yeah, no, I'm good. So, I guess tune in next week. Make sure that if you guys want to see Jay stream, then hit him up. Let him know the Jobins.
Leave us more than 6 fucking comments.
You gotta send cocks and spiders. Don't mix it up.
Spiders.
Spider cocks. Fucking spider cocks to everybody.
Yep.
50 spider cocks.
Holy shit, spider cocks.
That's a lot of spider cocks.
Not for you.
What the fuck does that mean? Holy shit.
Oh, yep. Goodness.